Hello and welcome to the Muppets Mayhem Backstage Pass, the unofficial companion podcast to the Muppets Mayhem, presented by ToughPigs.com. This is the podcast where we tour through every episode of the Muppets Mayhem to uncover behind-the-scenes stories, Easter eggs, and more with the talented cast and crew who helped put the series together. I'm your host, dedicated Mayhead Joe Hennis. Today, we are talking about Track 8, Virtual Insanity, in which the Mayhem makes a whole bunch of enemies thanks to the toxic hellscape of Twitter. This week, we have three extremely special guests. First up, he's the co-creator and executive producer of The Muppets Mayhem. Please welcome Jeff Yorks back to the podcast. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Thank you for having me back yet again. I'm very happy.
Yet again. Yes. We can't get rid of you. Next, he's another co-creator and executive producer, as well as Dr. Teeth's left-hand man. Please welcome Bill Beretta back to the podcast. Hey, Bill.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Are you already sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a great way to kick off another fun podcast.
Sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
Preemptive
apologies.
I just feel bad about the next guest on our show.
Oh, well, let's introduce him. We'll see how everyone else feels. Final guest, unfortunately.
This isn't good.
A Muppet performer who brings characters like Big Bird and Kermit the Frog to life. On The Muppets Mayhem, he slings bass as Sergeant Floyd Pepper. Please welcome Matt Vogel to the podcast. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, before we begin, and Bill, I heard your apology. Your apology you had before I came on, but yeah. I actually have an issue here. You said in the beginning there that this is the unofficial podcast for this.
Yes.
So I thought it was the official podcast.
Awkward. The official, unofficial podcast. This is how I tell everyone subtly that I'm not being paid by Disney to be here.
Oh.
I'm doing this on my own volition.
Also, he doesn't say unofficial on the other episodes.
Oh, it's just this
only one.
Just in case this doesn't, probably won't go well.
It probably wouldn't. You probably won't make it out.
It's not official, A-F-F-I-C-I-F.
I'll stay then. I'll stay. I mean, I don't have anything else to do, so it's fine.
I so appreciate you suffering through this already disaster of a podcast.
Sorry,
everybody. It is.
Matt, please tell me.
Yes.
Hello again. How does it feel getting the chance to focus on just one of your many Muppet characters for Muppets Mayhem?
It's actually really exciting. It was really exciting to get to focus on just one character. One character's arc for an episode, and then over the course of the season, I'm sure you've talked about this with other folks because, you know, I'm here at episode 8. We're all almost at the end. So, I mean, it feels like probably you've asked other people this and they probably have said, I'm guessing. I can't imagine that somebody be saying, well, I wish that I was doing more characters in the show. Did anybody say that?
No.
No.
I think it's really interesting training as an actor to be able to actually then play that single character and see how he may grow or transform in some way over the course of a season.
I mean, that's rare for any Muppet character. I mean, just
it
even
is.
Kermit and Piggy and Fozzie and all them, like they don't get the chance to do, you know, a whole season about just about themselves.
Yeah.
Other than like if it's a movie, right? You have a chance
yes.
to have an arc as with your character, and this is kind of what we always thought of as a big long movie. So I think it's fun. Like,
and it's a good word used that they grow. You know, we're not fundamentally changing these characters, but we are deepening them and helping them grow, dimensionalizing them.
Yeah,
that's a challenge for anything like this, where you have to have the characters grow, but also kind of get back to the status quo in the end, because we want people to be able to like turn on the Muppet movie and still recognize these characters as the same people from Muppets Mayhem.
That's right. I mean, it really is just informing more. It's informing the audience more about who these characters are. I can think of moments in the episode, the flashback episode with between Floyd and Teeth, which is one of my favorite episodes.
Me too.
Just getting to
because I'm really good in that one. That's
you are. No, I mean, I really do feel like I really do feel like that was for me as a fan of these characters to get to see the relationship and how it began was really. Special, but more special for me personally, and in a selfish way, was getting to play those scenes with you, Billy. Is just like,
well, same with me.
Really loved it.
I've been waiting to do something like that with you, because we tend to not do a lot of scenes. Our characters dynamically, you know, they don't kind of always interact on a on a regular basis. And so I was looking forward to that too. And also in my little fantasy world, I was always imagining Jim and Jerry doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, I never got to meet Jim, but I know how close we were with Jerry, and to just know that maybe he would have liked what we did with it, you know, and how amazing you're doing with this character and what you do with Floyd is so great. So I loved it. I just loved doing this episode. Yeah. I mean, that episode.
I did too. I really did. I was just watching it the other day.
Not this one, but that one.
No, this one. This one I can't stand, but I'm glad we're talking about that one. Sorry, Joe.
Hey, it's all right. This is what the show's all about, apparently, as we've learned. Speaking of Jerry Nelson, does it feel like you've got him kind of whispering in your ear as you're performing Floyd? Do you still feel that?
I do. At the very least, I feel like I'm, you know, Jerry was the coolest cat in the room always.
That's it.
Always. He would walk in and everybody would turn to him. He was just the coolest guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I hear him whispering in my ear, but I feel like I want to emulate that, who that version of Jerry / Floyd is for me. And, you know, while these characters are kind of blown up, ridiculous versions of, you know, who human beings might be, I feel like this character, Floyd, very much is Jerry and is how he would react in a kind of given situation if given the chance with this puppet.
You guys were talking a little bit about that backstory episode, the flashback episode.
Yeah.
And you know, Floyd is one of the few characters along with Dr. Teeth and Animal who actually gets a backstory in this season. How does it feel for you as someone who didn't originate these characters, but you know, working obviously very closely with them, to be adding so much history to them? I mean, does that feel terrifying to you, or is it like, no, it's part of the script, we're going to run with it and it's done?
It was never terrifying, and mostly because we have our team of writers, and having Jeff and Bill, what's the other guy's name?
Aaron.
Gareth.
Aaron.
Aaron Goldstein.
Him. Now having our creators and just knowing that they love these characters just like we do, and they are super talented and are able to bring these situations to us as the actors to get to play is a joy. I never was nervous or scared about what it was going to be. I always knew it would be so much fun to play. I never thought that it would be, you know, I actually really didn't even think about it as in terms of fear. It just was, this is just part of what that character's is. We're going to now show this. And now I guess in a way, Billy and I get to kind of put our stamp of who we are in that way that we are the Muppet performers through these characters, which I do love. I love being able to kind of put that stamp on them, I guess.
Yeah. And also, you know what, let's hope we get another season or four seasons.
Yeah. But
we really didn't explore Floyd's backstory. It's more Teeth, right? It's
It's
how they intersected. So there's more to do with Floyd, which would be so much fun.
I forget, Matt, did you read our backstory for Floyd that we're not to talk about it now.
I feel like I did early on. Yeah. I think there was something about
it was in the original pitch.
Yeah.
Like concepts of.
And him being, you know, an army
brat.
Well, we got the hint that, you know, he was at West Point and got dishonorably discharged. Like you were able to tell us that, but I feel like there's more to it. I feel like there's a lot more to it.
Absolutely, I'm sure there is.
Yeah. And then we also have, you know, baby animal dropped off at Floyd's front door. There's got to be so much more to talk about that, and like Floyd raising animal. We obviously we want to see more of that. I was a little surprised. I mean, not surprised knowing that there's plans likely for future seasons, but surprised that we got that moment of, you know, Floyd accepts baby animal, and that's it. You just got to put that puzzle together in your mind, create your own headcanon until we can show you.
The day you went to Home Depot and got the chain to put around Animal's neck.
That's right. You know, this little guy gets around everywhere. I got to figure out how to keep him under control, and a dog leash doesn't work. He just chews through it.
Well, yeah. Then someone calls child services on you for buying a chain for your child.
He's an animal.
He's an animal.
He's an animal.
Fair enough. It's a beast. All right. So let's talk about this episode, episode 8. Our cold open has the band driving through Hollywood. We see, once again, the Doc Hopper's Frog Legs billboard in the background. I assume this is the exact same shot that we saw in a previous episode, just recycled.
I think so. I know that they spent a day driving the van around and setting up different shots. You need...
And trying to find that billboard.
Yeah, exactly. That's the tough part.
Tough, right? Man.
Yeah. They feed two. One of them they couldn't use. I think it was blocked by a Pizza Hut delivery truck. So they were like, we don't have the rights for that. But they did spend a day setting up and getting those shots.
But it must have been so cool to just be like walking down, you know, Hollywood Boulevard, and then there's the van. It's just right there in real life. But I also recognize that like there's a lot of weird cars in Hollywood, so maybe it didn't bat a whole lot of eyes.
We had our premiere a couple weeks ago, and you know, the bus was there, the van was there, Mook's trailer was there. But at the end of the night, I watched as like the bus was leaving the premiere, and I'm like, someone's going to be driving at 11:30 at night and passing the Electric Mayhem bus, you know, just on the street, just like,
you know, it's so funny. It's so funny you mentioned that, Jeff. When on that day of the
premiere
release or launch, we were. You know, a couple of gigs got canceled because of the writer's strike.
Right.
So I was trying to think of something that we could do to have some fun, just to create some buzz out there. And I wanted us to rent a sightseeing van, where the ones without the roofs on them.
Yeah.
And that we would all ride with the characters next to us as if there's a bunch of people riding around Hollywood, and people could just grab photos and, you know, post them and stuff. I just think that'd be really fun to do someday.
Yeah. And that was, they said no to that because
there wasn't enough time between what we had finished and getting to the venue to rehearse, to do everything we had to do there.
But you have to get there.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I know, I tried.
Sure, you do have to get there.
Frank tried, you know, we talked about it, but it just wasn't possible.
Right.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, this is something like that. Oh, that cold open. There is something that I do want to say about that scene. This is the scene where they're coming up with different names for the album. Right.
Yes.
So the thing that I remember about shooting this scene is that I didn't shoot this scene.
That's right.
Oh, no.
I am not performing Floyd because during the time we were shooting this show, we were going through COVID tests every 3 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And I went in on, this was maybe on a Monday, and I went in on a Monday, and they shoved the swab in my nose, and we all went to work. And then a little bit later, I was in my trailer, and somebody came up and said, you have to leave. You have COVID. I was like, I do? I don't feel like I have COVID, and I feel fine, but okay, bye. And so I couldn't shoot this scene. I mean, I had to like wait. I think it was 24 hours before I had to take another test.
Right. Is it a false positive?
It was a false positive. Wow. So I didn't have COVID, but you know, they were trying to be very safe.
Right. Yeah, so I had to wait 2 days. Wasn't it 2 days? I thought it was 2 days you had to wait.
Yeah, I was out 2 days. So yeah, when they gave me the test, it was 24 hours from there. Right. I had to take it and then wait another 24 hours or something.
We couldn't even stop production, you know?
No.
Like not even for an hour. Like we have to go.
No, got to keep going.
And I'm trying to remember, was it Alice?
Yes, it was Alice.
It's crazy. Like we were, you know, we'd be editing and you just hear this kind of Floyd, but very much not Floyd.
Yeah.
You don't bring me Whitefish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a performance.
Wait, is this the episode? Yeah. Is this the, yes, it is, right? This is the
album titles.
Sorry. The fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because there, when we were editing this, there were three different Floyds because Matt either was sick or he was on something else that we were doing. But so Peter did Floyd once.
Yep.
And Alice did him and you did him.
So
the three of you. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you can't
tell. I'll tell you when the other scene comes up. I'll tell you. I'll tell you when the other scene comes
right,
up.
Yes, you can tell. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yes, as we've said, the band is brainstorming band names. they go through a huge list. I have to assume there's 10 times as many that you did on the day.
It's album names. Just to make sure.
Did they say band names?
Isn't it? It's names. You did, but it's names for the album, I believe.
Album names. But no.
Album names. I did mean album names. But does the band have a name? should we come up with one right now?
Well,
I think we wrote maybe 60.
Wow.
And then we cut it down a little bit. I mean, it could be its own episode. And I think even from what you recorded, we cut down even further just because we have to get into the show already. And so it's like,
it was actually hard to do on the day.
Sure.
The tempo and the timing. Cause part of me feels like it would have played great in just one shot as well. Just kind of in the why, but, and a few like pop ins, but it was hard to do to get the, keep the tempo going in a comedic way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's tricky.
I don't want to read the whole list here, but do you have any favorites that either that were said in the episode or things that did not get said, edited out of the episode?
I don't remember what we did.
You don't bring me whitefish. I do like.
That's a good one. I mean, I could share some of my favorites because I have them here. Feeling Funky Tronic is actually that's a good band name. But then you've got like He Who Rocked It, Rolled It.
Album name.
Mr. Fluff and the Puff Police.
I like there's an album. I like that one.
There's an album.
There's an album.
There's an album. That's what Suit says. Llamas everywhere. I like that Lips does throw in a few, and of course we can understand it, but one of them sounds like he's saying Sergeant Pepper, which is very funny. And Floyd says, I wish I knew my dad, which sounds like a joke, but it also makes me wonder, you know, season two, maybe that's something that's going to come back around.
I think it was intentionally said ambiguously.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it was very ambiguous because it was just an album title, potential album title.
Or was it?
Or.
Yeah. Or and then also Animal just shouts out music and songs. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we should have named it, by the way.
That's what it should have been.
Just songs.
I believe,
if I'm not mistaken, without Googling this, the comedy music duo Garfunkel and Oates, featuring Ricky Lindholm, who's in this episode, has an album called Music Songs.
Huh.
If I'm not mistaken. I might be mistaken.
Right in.
In the studio, the band is rehearsing the song We Are One. We will hear more of this song later in the episode. We could talk about it then. But Nora and JJ are ready to promote this new album, even though it's not completely finished yet. And there's only one way to get the word out. Not oversized billboards, not windshield leaflets, not Animal shouting this thing on a megaphone. Mm-hmm. It's the internet. And the band gets their very first smartphones, with the exception of Lips, who is the man who knows everybody and, of course, has his own phone.
The keeper of the phone, yeah.
He's the keeper of the phones, yeah.
Which generally he just uses to call people. That's it. He is not really using it to, like, he's not...
Right. Yeah. I think he says something about, seems like he says something about, you know, he doesn't do the apps. He just does the phone, you know, he does the phenomena thing.
I like what Floyd does. I like what Floyd does with his, he shakes it like there's something supposed to come out of it.
Yeah.
He's like raising it up and down, trying to figure out.
Yeah. What is it going to, well, and it kind of, out? He does say something about there's like the high tech trackery.
That was one of the things we loved.
High tech trackery. You know? Yeah.
We loved, and it, I feel like it's probably earlier than that, but it's definitely in the 2015 series that Floyd is like a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, Bill, maybe you know this, but I mean, Jerry, I don't think he was a conspiracy theorist, but I think he was fascinated by like UFOs and, but also he had a healthy distrust of the man and of authority.
Yes.
And I remember that they did like a big spread for People magazine. I think it was on Sesame Street, and all the Muppet performers were all there, but and they were all, you know, made up and they all looked great, but Jerry looked great too, but he had like a hat on and dark sunglasses and a t-shirt. And like I just remember him always like, he didn't really want to have anybody really know maybe what he looked like, or, you know, did not trust things getting out there that, you know, he wouldn't like. And that's kind of what I feel like Floyd does in a little.
That's
in
great. A way.
Are you like, suggesting that People magazine is the man? I mean, I'm not.
I think so. Yeah, or maybe men. Has all been the, has the met people. The man or something.
Sure.
But, you know, even more than that, like corporate or just bigger than, you know, bigger than him, things like that.
Sure. But yes, as you said, Floyd does not trust smartphones because of the high-tech tracker. Janice doesn't want to be a cellular zombie. I like that Dr. Teeth doesn't trust anything that doesn't have buttons. I thought that was a funny, that was a funny line reading. That.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense because he plays the keyboards. It's like a whole bunch of buttons. It's like 88 buttons in a row.
What about
keys?
They're keys. It's music.
We call them keys? Yeah. I'm learning so much on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's nice that you guys call him out on it because I was just going to let him just have his little button thing.
No.
Oh, call him out on it. Okay, got it. Got it.
I'm not allowed to tell jokes on this podcast, apparently.
I would keep it.
We just have to explain all of my jokes. Just the funny ones? Oh, then definitely none of my jokes are going to make it through.
Hey, you said it.
Dr. Teeth pens the band's first tweet. It is the word tweet. I went back and looked at the Electric Mayhem's Twitter feed to see when their actual first tweet was. It was from December 2015. It was Christmas time. And it's, we've set up a big model train around our tree so we can jam on it and literally rock around the Christmas tree all season long.
We were originally going to do that in this scene. Yeah,
that would have been a very deep Easter egg.
What we should have done, I wish we were organized enough to have had the official Twitter account at one point in this past year tweet out the word tweet.
Tweet.
There's no reason they couldn't have. It costs nothing.
This is a fictionalized. It's a fiction. This is a fictionalized show. It's a show.
But things from the show make their way into the real world. The band made an album and I own it now.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you do.
The real band.
That's right. Because we blur the lines.
Sure.
Can't really back up 7 or 8 years.
No, you don't want to do that.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to delete all the tweets.
Kind of hard to go back there. Yeah. You'd have to redo everything.
And what a pain in the
neck.
Wouldn't
be that much of a loss.
Probably not.
We're setting up our Christmas tree. We lost it.
Gone forever. Hannah is the social media expert, and she has been assigned Animal to turn him into an internet superstar. So we're gonna see more of that in a moment. And Moog is the only one who knows that this whole thing is gonna blow up in a bad way, not blow up in a good way. And I like that while he's explaining this, we see Dr. Teeth, Janice, and Floyd all already taking selfies with their phones. At least I assume that's what you're doing, and not just like holding them up for reception.
I think it was trying to figure out still what it does.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
They're holding it in that very specific selfie angle. That's probably why I assume that.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to see what it does. That was in my mind anyway.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know about
Janice. You might get the impression that these characters are dumb.
What?
But they're not. I don't think they're dumb. I really don't think they're dumb. I think they are innocent.
They're innocent.
They are inquisitive, absolutely, and I love the innocence of them. Yeah. That they are, and all Muppet characters are in some way innocent, and I love that they don't know what these things are. They haven't needed them. They haven't needed these things. Yeah, there is. Well, he's been out. You know, they've been off in their own worlds.
They've been out in the world.
Yeah,
they just don't the world, play with phones.
But still, they don't really need phones or computers or you know, a lot of things take them by surprise, and you might be, but that's where the awesome comedy.
Yeah, it's an allergic kind of reaction to technology. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
And change.
Change. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
The Mayhem's first tweet already is getting tons of followers. Way more than they would if they continued to just interact with their fans in person. You know, like we used to. And they're already getting followed by celebrities like Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, Beyonce, Lady Gaga. And so Dr. Teeth decides to tweet to them. And what you say is, to our fellow music makers, you're all absolutely tremendulous. You're truly talentulous. I think I'm saying that right. With stupendous fans. But it auto-corrects half the words to, you are all absolutely terrible. You are all truly talentless with stupid fans.
Welcome to 2 hours in the writer's room.
I was just going
to
say, it took us about an hour to come up, with the right words to translate it.
You know, you're writing two things simultaneously and they have to work. And
we wanted
so which did you write first? Did you write the stoop, like the you're all horrible?
I think we needed to figure out what the message was going to be.
Yeah, what
mess it up. Yeah. And then
retrofit it.
Yeah. That's also just such a great gag for building on Dr. Teeth's, you know,
yeah,
made up words and long windedness yep. of like, of course he would be autocorrected. Of course. Like that's. Yeah.
Well, and it took us a while too, to figure out how they were going to offend all these people too. That was a kind of a challenge for a while. Remember?
Right. Originally like, it was going to be emojis.
Yeah. Emojis or what was the, it was the whole kind of thing is what was the best way to innocently offend them?
Yeah.
And I don't remember who came up with, probably Jeff. Yeah, he's going to say it's him. it probably was. But that, yeah, the translator thing.
Yeah, the autocorrect just seems fit perfectly with the character.
Yeah.
At Waxtown Records, they're all being chewed out by Penny over the tweet. I like Moog like kind of starts to explain, like, oh, it was an autocorrect thing. And she says, who is this smart guy and why is he talking to me? And we all went, ah, he was smart guy on the show Smart Guy. It's a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah. It's one of the things that absolutely makes the show rewatchable is just what else is happening in all of these shots, what else you guys are doing and constantly trying to, you know, one up each other or just pull focus. It's a blast. We're certainly in the editing room distracted by just trying to cut the scene that's in the foreground. And sometimes we lose some of those moments, but it is a blast when we spot them and they're still in there. And that's great.
Yeah. I've said this before. I'm on my third rewatch of the show right now. Mm. And because of I'm doing the podcast, I'm doing a lot of like pausing, a lot of like going back and see like, what are you guys doing in the background? What's it say on the wall? That sort of thing. So I highly recommend anyone out there to just pause it every, you know, 2 seconds and see what else you can see, because there's just so much going on. There's so much happening on the screen.
And what's weird is like the timing of the comedy, it's not affected at all.
No, not whatsoever.
Just it somehow still works.
That's how good you guys are.
Yeah.
That's how I like to watch things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything really. If I like
it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
The news.
The news. I like to pause on the news.
I told you
if you're listening to if you're listening to this podcast, just pause it every
like right every now.
Right now.
News.
Welcome back, everybody.
Well, wait. When I would watch this or listen to the sound mixes at home, and I think I was telling you that for episode 5, my kids sort of stumbled in, they wanted to see it. And I'm like, this is not the way to see it. The effects aren't done. Also, I'm going to be starting and stopping. They're like, we just want to see it. I was like, okay. And it's like, you know, Animal and JJ and Nora, bad girl. And I just kept pausing on that. And they couldn't, they're like, we just want to watch this. And I'm like, okay, let me see how far. Nope, we got to change this. And I'm taking notes again. They loved it.
Yeah.
They
still loved this it. Is why my wife hasn't watched the show yet, because she knows if I'm putting it on, I need to do this for the podcast. And she's like, I'll catch it on your next.
It's time. For work.
Yeah. Right.
It is. So the band is in the van. They're talking about how they've created a beef with all of music. And Floyd says, we don't beef with nobody. Well, except that one band from Riverbottom.
Yeah, they were a nightmare. Says,
yeah, they were a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess where that joke came from?
So I fought, Adam, I think, said it in one of the other ones. I fought for that joke since, I think, day 3 of the writer's room.
And Adam really? Kept, like, taking it out, right?
Isn't that what it, marginalizing kept, like... it and just being like, yeah. I'm like, where is it? What happened to it? And he's like, look, this, it will have many bites at this apple, which meant we're losing it, you know? and then I guess he figured, by the time we were in the editing room, that's when we'd lose it. And that's when I made it very clear. It was very important to me.
And I guess, didn't he also say that, and now, like, the thing that people talk about as an Easter egg is that, what he sees on his feeds and everything, you know?
For the fans. Yeah. I just love
Thank
the idea. You. There was a point where they were going to beef with a real band. And we were thinking about that. I loved that possibility. Could it be the actual Riverbottom Nightmare Band?
Right.
It would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing.
6 people, you know?
No, I very much appreciate that you stuck that in there. And I was trying to think if there were any other like blatant Emmett Otter references in Muppet canon. You know, especially since the split of, you know, Henson and Muppets and Sesame, Because like, you know, they're like the characters are there for the finale in the Muppet movie. Like if you kind of squint, you can see them real, real tiny up close. The only one I can think of, and someone's going to correct me when they hear this, is at Disney World at the Pizza Rizzo restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to Pizza Rizzo, there's like one of those boards with like the, like,
I know
it's a
exactly
black
what you're
going to
say,
letters.
Joe. Yep.
Yeah, you've seen it, I'm sure.
I have.
It's, you know, those like black felt boards, you put the little white letters in them. So I can't remember what it says.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh, yeah, must be it. Yeah. No, I can't remember what the white letters are saying, but if you come close, you could see there was previously letters on this and like kind of the sun faded a little bit. So you could see what it used to say. And it's like Pa Otter Memorial Concert or something like that.
So, yeah.
What a great little reference for six of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you may not even see it if you go in there, because it's you know, it's looks sun bleached
I made it my mission to try to replace any of these billboards with real, you know, or with Muppet references. One of the ones I was looking for, and I went through like all these HD copies that I could get my hands on of Emmett Otter, was the music store. I just could never get a clear enough copy to see what that music store was called.
Wow.
But I was gonna try to recreate that.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Sure. For six people.
For six people. Actually, probably less for that one. I couldn't tell you what that music store is called.
That's nothing. Yeah.
So as the van is driving around, they are boxed in at an intersection by four cars. And it turns out it's all the angry fandoms. Let's go through them. We got the Swifties. It's Taylor Swift's fandom. They are led by Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Her only other Muppet connection that I could find was she was the voice of a dragon in an episode of the 2018 Muppet Babies revival. So, you know, that's a thing that she's done.
You do your research, Joe, I tell ya.
Pull some
good ones out.
Thanks to Muppet Wiki. They did the research and I just stole it from them.
Oh, well.
We have the Beehive, that's Beyonce's fandom, led by Nicole Byer from Nailed It. Love that show. We've got the Beliebers, led by Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel Notes. She was also Fozzie Bear's girlfriend, Becky, in the Muppets sitcom from 2015.
She's great. She's so funny. She's such a great actress.
She's so great. And we've got Lady Gaga's Little Monsters, led by Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock. He was also a movie theater usher in an episode of Sesame Street from 2015.
Directed by me. I directed
really?
Him
you directed
that? I did. And Jack's a buddy of mine.
No, he is.
He's a good guy. Matt. They used to live together in
It was back
Boston.
In the 90s. Yeah, back in the
90s
in Boston.
Oh, you go way back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Let me tell you about it. So here's what
here
we were both looking for. We didn't
story.
Live
no story about how
we never live. We never lived together in Boston or in the 90s. But I do know him and he is a buddy of mine.
Lies. No one's going to believe anything we say on this podcast now.
I got to work with him on Kimmy Schmidt, and that's as far as we go back. But that's it.
That's cool. No,
he was great, though. Really, really funny to have around that day. Everybody was so fun. They were just having such a good time hanging, and it was hot, but they were really. I think everybody had fun.
Where did we shoot that? Where was that? That was on.
Oh, that was on the Disney Ranch.
Was it the Disney Ranch?
Yeah,
That was a.
So
hot
that was
day.
Another thing we had. Yeah. We had the opportunity to, I guess, name every storefront.
I only spotted one of them. I'd love to hear about more.
I don't even remember. I know one is a tribute to Freddie Mercury. The theater, there's like a marquee, and so we named that theater, I think, his real name. But everything else is some sort of music rock star pun. There's a pub, though, that is the name of Adam's wife and my wife.
Oh, fun.
They own a pub, an Irish pub together, because they're both Irish lasses.
I spotted Here Comes the Sundries.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's why. Right. Yeah. That's pretty good.
There's also, I don't know if it ended up in there, but there was there's a van that like you rent vans to cover equipment. And we had, it was like Van Morrison or something like that. We called it. And then like you couldn't read the joke. And so I think we even said, okay, in VFX, just call it like Hollywood van cover-ups or something like that. I don't know if it's in there anymore.
That's funny. But yeah, these four people who we see, Rachel Bloom, Nicole Byer, Ricky Lindholm, Jack McBrayer, like they're all such good sports. But they all, the second you see them, it's like people who should be working with the Muppets, like people who are very talented, very funny, you know, like especially, you know, like Rachel Bloom, who hasn't gotten to play with the Muppets before, who, you know, she's so funny and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but also a songwriter and a singer. And part of me is a little surprised that it took this long to get her on, you know, working with the Muppets. So I'm glad that you guys made it happen.
If we knew that we were getting these people, we probably would have written it completely differently to utilize their talents. And they're just, I feel like, you know.
She was very funny, though. She was great with her little hand gesture thing. And
yeah. Awesome. And Ricky Lindholm, I'm glad to see her again. Was she someone who you just thought, like, she was so great with the Muppets, let's bring her back? Or was it more of a coincidence of, you know, oh, we made a connection and you've already been here, but
I'm trying to remember if there was I think it was our casting people that were so good and thought of different people, and then they would send us names, you know, and say, what about, and we go, oh yeah, well, there you go, that sounds that feels right. So really our casting people brought them up in this situation, you know.
Yeah,
great. Except for well, I guess maybe except for Jack, that might have even gone through Matt in some way.
I think it was Kimmy, actually. I think Kimmy.
Oh, was it Kimmy? Oh, that's right.
She knows Jack also. And so,
oh, that's right.
That's how.
Oh, she may have even. Maybe that was a connection. She might have been connected to all of them.
She might have, yeah.
Sure, Kimmy, yeah.
Kimmy Gatewood has a big improv background. She's an actor and very funny in that world.
Yeah.
I also appreciated that Jack McBrayer says Mayhem come out to play,
like little Warriors reference. Yeah,
that's good. He just need little Coke bottles on his fingers.
Although he does kind of do that though, right? Yeah. He kind of like goes,
he does a little thing with his fingers. So Moog points out, as a super fan himself, like he knows how this works. You know, if you cold diss their leader, you cold diss them all. Yeah. And the van is brutally attacked by these fandoms, which is hysterical but terrifying because everyone is freaking out. The van is rocking around. The way you guys edited it made it feel very intense, which I appreciate. And Lips is pulled up through the sunroof. The door is ripped off its hinges. Floyd gets grabbed.
They got me.
Right.
Yeah. The Bleebers steal the van. And this is it for the van, right? We don't see it again after this.
That's it.
R.I.P. van.
It was a bold move. This
and a budget move.
Why is that a budget move?
Well, we had to get a bus.
Right. And Nora's car.
Sure. You mean it made the budget higher because you needed more?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now you have to get the bus.
Now we have to have a bus.
Yeah. Because usually when someone says, oh, it's a budget thing, it's like, oh, you need to save some money. Oh, I get it.
Sorry.
It's the other way around.
It's the other way.
It's the other way. It was a budget. It was a budget increase.
But it was the story. And you're telling the best story. And what's the best story? They got to have the bus.
And Chris Ebers, the best producer around, who figures out a way to make things happen. He's amazing. So we got our bus.
Amazing. So grateful for that bus. We'll talk about that once we see it in a couple episodes. We'll check in with Animal and Hannah. He's doing a big photo shoot. He's wearing all different outfits and different backgrounds against a green screen. A couple of these shots, he's got this great like round head of hair. Like, is he wearing a wig? Is this a different puppet? How did you guys accomplish that?
I think they groomed him.
Is it just you just combed the hair in a different way and it just made it very spherical?
I think so, right?
I don't know.
Let me tell you about this scene.
Oh, yeah, Matt.
Tell me, Matt. Tell me everything about Animal's hair.
I was not there for the shooting of this scene because I'm not in the scene.
Well, didn't you get COVID from this scene?
I might have.
Everybody runs into the shack. They're freaking out because they're being chased by the fans. I like that everyone hides. Zoot is wearing a lampshade over his head. Janice is, I think, inside of an amp. Is that what that is?
Yes.
Speaker or something.
Big tower speaker. Yeah.
And Floyd is hanging down from inside of the chimney. Are you actually hanging upside down in that chimney, or is this?
I'm not upside down, but I remember Bill coming to me and going, "Hey, can we go take a look and see if you can get your arm down inside this?" You know, fireplace. It's not like a real fireplace. We're on a set, but I am standing next to the fireplace and reaching very like down deep into the fireplace with a monitor kind of taped to the wall or something so I can see.
Did we do the ladder or did we put boxes so you could be tall? Living has really long arms because it helped a lot to get him up above and then and he could reach down. So
yeah. It worked. I was on Apple boxes, yeah.
Right.
Fascinating. So it sounds like the fireplace set wasn't built to have a puppeteer inside, but you're like, let's try it anyway.
Well, it was all open in the back, but we didn't really intend on using it in any way like that. So we had to make space and find a way to get Matt in there. It wasn't comfortable. That's for sure.
But it was fun. And it makes for a great sight gag.
Looks great. Yeah.
Looks really great.
Matt, what was the least comfortable position that you were in the series? Do you recall?
His trailer.
Yes. gosh. I feel like it is definitely like in a sofa. I think it's in that sofa there because there was a certain there was like a certain position I had to be in that was not conducive to where my arm, like how my arm grows out of my body.
Sure.
And I had to get, it was just a very awkward, weird position. It was not great, but you know, got to do it.
Yeah. Whatever it takes for the art.
I wonder if maybe it was more comfortable than I remember, but it feels like when you were in those blues with Floyd playing the guitar in the street, in the back, the flashback.
In the flashback?
Where he's got his leg up on the bench, and was that?
That was not as bad. No, that wasn't as bad. Right. But there were some blue screen things where it was like harder just because of, I don't know, it just was some different things.
Because you're not very good at it.
It's that. That's the, I just assume that everybody knows that one. But just in terms of like set pieces or things like that.
Right. Like, so it's the set's fault.
Well, yeah. And my inability.
So it turns out that all this Twitter beef is a good thing because the band is getting a lot of attention and they've been invited to play a virtual concert in Minecraft.
I'm sorry, Joe, forgive me.
Yeah.
But I will, in all fairness.
Yeah.
Matt actually does have the hardest kind of approach just generally because he's the tallest. So he tends to have to squat, bend, get lower, you know. He, unfortunately, is probably the only one who can't just be at his full height all the time because we're all just ridiculously too short. So he does tend to get in. I mean, generally, he's probably the one who has to suffer the most. I hate to say it, but just to your defense, Matt,
you go through
squishing than the rest of us do.
There might be some squishing or some sliding around on rolly chairs, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he can be on a chair and we can stand.
Yeah, high chair.
He sits on a chair and we stand.
But like, you would assume that it'd be the other way around, that being tall as a puppeteer would be a benefit. I don't know why I think that. Maybe it's just because Jim and
they don't grow them like they used to.
Well, that's the thing. The average has changed, right? So the average has gotten shorter over the years. Yeah. Matt's in the height where the guys used to be. Jim, Frank, Jerry, Richard. That was the height, but we've all just for, you know, everybody's gotten shorter and Matt's still the right.
Still growing.
Yeah. I'm still growing. I'm a growing
Matt,
boy.
Have you considered being shorter?
I looked into having my leg shortened. It's very expensive and incredibly painful.
Whatever it takes for the art.
But they give you free ice cream. So that's a plus. That's in the plus side.
Wow.
You think it's free? You don't think you're paying for that as part of the surgery?
Well, they said free ice cream.
Oh.
It depends if you've hit your deductible or not.
Maybe they've hit it in. They've hidden it in. It's like a line item that I don't know about.
Right.
I would think about it. I would continue thinking about it, Matt. Just we got time.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe. Before you go on to the whole motion capture Minecraft thing, there's this moment in there I want to bring up. That's the scene before that. I think when Nora's talking about. I think she's talking about JJ. She's looking at a video of him and Janice is in there and she has this little story that she tells. And I just want to throw just some love out to David Rudman, who first of all, he's amazing. But I love the way that that Janice just goes, she goes, I don't know. She says something like, good night. And then she after she's done this whole long story, she goes, good night. And then she turns and she instantly falls asleep, like instantly. Like she has there's nothing. She's out. She's snoring. She's done. And I just think that like the timing on that was just so great. And perfect. David Rudman is, I think he's really found a really excellent place for his Janice. It's like in this really cool spot.
Yeah, you're so right. It's just perfect. Really just perfect.
Let's talk about the scene for a second, because I also love Janice's story about, you know, there was a free-spirited lass who was torn between two different suitors, and it seems obvious that she's talking about herself, but she's not. She's talking about Betty. One of the suitors was obviously Floyd, and while Betty was being wishy-washy, Janice just swooped in and stole Floyd's heart. And because we know now that we're getting these little pieces of backstory from everyone, and hopefully we'll have future seasons of this show, to really explore more of that, that we might meet Betty. We might see who the other suitor was. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you guys are thinking about it.
I remember actually not about Betty so much, but I remember kind of sitting at home thinking, why would Nora choose JJ over Moog? What would be something that would, you know, and the simplest thing I could think of was a smile. Does that person make you smile? You know, because they both have great qualities, and our original JJ was a little bit more, right, Jeff? He was more of arch villain, and we were asked to kind of do some notes and to change that a bit, and so they started to feel very likable, which is good, which is great. But what is the choice that she makes, you know? And I kept thinking, and I pitched it to Jeff and Adam, and I think it helped, because who makes you, you know, you can have great qualities, but who makes you smile every day?
It's such a sweet sentiment.
Yeah. And I think it worked. Hearing it come out of Janice's mouth, I think it really helps, you know, sell that. Sweet.
Yeah. It's a beautiful scene.
Especially since Janice is the one who's like cosmically in tune with things. Like she knows the truth.
Yeah.
And the simplest truth.
To catch up to her. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the simplest. What is the simplest truth that Janice could find in that, and what she would have done, you know? And it's about smile. Who makes you smile?
It's also a funny scene because Janice is so sweet, but we put in this little undercurrent of just evil, you know, this dark side. That she swoops in and steals from this poor innocent woman who's now a bag lady.
And Baramis.
Baramis.
Yeah. It's like she was born to be a cult leader.
Yep.
Like that's what you just described. Yeah.
And I love Lily's first line. Where she can't, what is it, Jeff? When she can't tell that she's asleep or not.
Hard can't tell.
Hell,
hard to tell. So good. She plays that so great.
Yeah. Nighty night.
The band is getting ready for this Minecraft concert. Is this a thing, by the way, Minecraft concerts? I don't play
Absolutely.
Minecraft.
And we used the company that does this thing.
Oh, really? Like for the animation, you mean?
Yeah. This company called Nox Crew. They are known. They're like these incredible Minecraft group of creators who do these events. Like BTS famously had this concert in Minecraft. All these different acts do. But this was different, way different for them. Because what they do is they will take the track, the music, and they will animate a whole concert. What they had here was all this story that they had to tell.
Yeah.
And so it was a learning curve for them. It was a learning curve for us.
Yeah, it became a storyboarded kind of approach. You know, it had to be all broken down into shots. Like they couldn't just animate the entire thing. Right. We'd have some for some shots, and then we could play, right, Jeff, with the movement.
Yeah, I think they could animate the concert and how they were playing, but then we specifically were like, okay, cool. Now take that virtual camera and shoot it. We want to start with a close-up of Floyd and pull out. And that's just the music stuff. But then there's singing around this, you know?
Yeah, we need the low angle. Could we do a low angle here that helps sell the evil fans? And
and by the way, here's new dialogue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know?
But they were great. They really, I think they did a great job.
When I was thinking about and watching the show back, and I couldn't remember, Bill and Jeff, when we shot it and we had the music, right? We Are One.
Yeah.
originally that song was much slower, not much slower, but it considerably slower. And did we shoot it slower on the day, or did we go back and it was sped up?
Yeah,
it was sped up.
It was sped up in post.
The song is great. but yeah, it just did not feel like it was this call to action for all these people to unite in a loving way.
I recorded the vocals that are on the album right here in my home studio, I believe. Yeah. Right here. I had to do it here because we were just
shooting
out of necessity. But I couldn't remember if we had shot it slower. And it is actually the way it is now. It's one of my favorite songs on the record. Mm-hmm. And freaking Ringo Starr is helping out Animal on the drums. It's Ringo Starr. Like, there's not enough of a big deal being made about that.
Linda, connection, Linda.
Yeah, Linda works. She brings in session musicians to just like record live, you know, even on her demos. So just bringing a group to play all that stuff live. She just happened to be friends with Ringo Starr. And she's like, hey, do you want to play with Animal on this track? And he laid down this beat. And I mean, you hear it. Like, once you know it's Ringo, you're like, what is happening right there is very unique and not what a normal average drummer would do. It's incredible. And absolutely, I am shocked they haven't parlayed this into a bigger deal.
We did a little bit of PR stuff with it. We did a little bit. Like, there was like just a small amount, but you know, I wish it was.
The other thing that's tough, so you did record it, we filmed it at a slower rate. And so when we're editing, you know, we have to take into consideration, you can speed up footage, but it starts to look a little weird. So you have to use, you know, you have to be very judicious with which clips you use, especially when there's a clapping breakdown, because that is a set rhythm. And all of a sudden that starts to be,
I was wondering, because those shots of the band singing, of course, a lot of it does live in the Minecraft world as well. So,
it was a challenge.
You know, are there plans to put the Electric Mayhem into Minecraft?
I mean, I think that was one of the things that this could be
a huge
tie-in, you know? This was like a big, big deal for Disney, for Muppets.
I want to point out also, we meet Clark, who's the guy who's doing all the mocap work. He's played by Joel Otrulio, best known probably for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I am a huge fan of his because he was a member of The State, the sketch comedy show from the 90s, which is one of my favorites of all time. And from what I can tell, like, he's the first member of The State to work with the Muppets. There was 11 cast members, and they've gone on to do great things. You know, Wet Hot American Summer, Reno 911, Stella, you know, a bunch of other great stuff. And I know that Ken Marino was at the Muppets Most Wanted red carpet because I interviewed him, on the press line. But other than that, he's the first one. So about time. Glad you guys got him.
What about Dan Marino? Does Dan Marino count?
Dan Marino did a lot of Muppet stuff.
Yeah, that was it.
Too much Muppet stuff, I think.
Some would say.
I love the Dan Marino Christmas special that he did with the Muppets. That's a classic. When Clark announces the band to all the people in Minecraft, he's got his little voice in the microphone, but then we also hear the voice of John Bailey, who is the voice from the Honest Trailers YouTube videos in the Minecraft world. And he's credited as the voice of God, which seems like an interesting choice from you guys.
Voice of God, isn't that just a theater term when the director speaking to
the VOG
on stage, right?
Look it up, Joe. Look it up.
I don't know things.
Learn about theater.
I don't know anything.
Come on, Joe.
That was an Adam phone call. He was like, wouldn't it be cool if it was the trailer guy? And I was like, I guess. I mean, Don Fontaine? Like, and he's like, no, hang on. And he just wrote an email. And then all of a sudden we got it back within like 2 hours. He did scratch track for us. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Just as the band starts to play, someone throws a Minecraft TNT dynamite thing at the band. It kills Lips. That's sad.
Takes him out for a minute. Yeah. Yes.
He regens.
Yeah.
That's a Minecraft term.
Right. So in the Minecraft world, the Swifties, the Beehive, the Beliebers, the Little Monsters are all attacking We see, they're
even the
horseback.
Natalie Merchant Marines.
That's my favorite.
Natalie Merchant Marines.
That's my favorite too.
That's a great line. And I assumed incorrectly that Rihanna's Navy was a joke because I'm like, oh, it's a battleship reference. But that's what they call Rihanna fans, is Rihanna's Navy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is true.
But the band takes this opportunity to sing We Are One. It's a great song. And rainbows emanate from the band, transform everybody. The sun comes out. Everybody loves the mayhem, and now they love each other through the power of music.
You make it sound so easy. It was it was several grueling, certainly months of the back and forth. I mean, really, just us figuring it out. I mean, again, they animated this thing, Knox Crew, and then at a certain point, we changed the tempo, you know, of the song. It just changes everything. And ironically, fittingly, has rippling effects.
The stage changed. We wanted to have cloud,
right?
You know, at a certain time, there was all just constantly some, because the more we would watch it, we go, is the intention of the scene clear? Is it clear that's going from this regular fans to then the people who are coming to attack them, and watching that get dark, and then seeing that change, like we just needed those beats. And I think for a while we just felt like it was like one run, you know, it was kind of almost one note, but it just ultimately we got there, but it was a lot of work.
I think the other thing was that, you know, we don't know Minecraft particularly
right.
well. And we're like,
right,
well, can't they do this?
Yeah.
They're like, well, so we did build something that could do this. And they had to do all these crazy workarounds to make what we wanted a reality. Yeah,
we do have geese and unicorns. Right. Do they work for the bad characters?
Sure. That was another thing. You know, we specifically wanted like animals that represented these fan groups. And what about snakes? Do snakes work? And they're like, well.
Yeah.
Well, you got the bees in there. I feel like the bees were important.
We got the bees.
The bees were great. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What Taylor Swift end with? Mamas? Horses?
Yeah, they come in on horses. They come in on horseback.
And then we had zombies, right?
Right. For little monsters.
Yeah.
Right. No, that makes sense. Yeah. So, the concert's a big hit. Nora throws the band a classic mayhem party back at the shack. But they are all too engrossed in their phones to really appreciate it. Like a bunch of millennials.
I just want to point out the psychedelic foods on the table. Pretty great. You know, I thought those were awesome. Not psychedelic foods, but the
Technicolor,
tie-dyed foods.
Yeah. I also have something to say about this scene. My biggest memory of this scene is that I was not there for this
scene.
You
were not there.
Because this is, again, the COVID thing that kept me from being there. But Peter Lynn subbed in for me on this scene and made it very easy to ADR my lines on that line that I had there.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, he did lips.
I didn't even need
Floyd.
To be there.
Yeah.
Why did we have you on this episode, Matt?
It's just what the schedule was. It's fine.
Too, if I recall. Just schedule.
Just like really quick, in and out. Yeah, like one take and we got it.
It was really smooth. Everybody was the same height.
Yeah.
It worked really great.
Yeah. Yep. Probably super easy. I get it. Yeah.
Moog has finished producing the album. The album is done. We have two episodes left to go. I'm sure everything will go super smoothly now that the big thing is finished. Nora gets a phone call from the Hollywood Bowl. They saw the concert and they want to make a deal. Great, everything's coming up Milhouse. She agrees to move in with JJ, which is a big deal for all of them, but Moog sees it all go down and he's feeling pretty hurt. That's pretty much where the episode ends, on this cliffhanger. Disney Plus is gonna love this, except for the fact that we see Zoot with his iPhone and all his photos rain down from the cloud that he had been taking throughout the episode, which is a great visual.
I love that. Love that button of the photos falling from the cloud. I also love the previous, there's a setup for way back in the beginning of the episode where he does this great, he just looks up and he pulls his hand out and nothing.
Right.
And it gets paid off
cloud's
here.
Broken. Cloud's broken.
Yeah, it's just great. I love that. But I have to say, what I really feel for Moog I really do. And not only it's not just because it's, you know, it's real well written, but Taj Mowry, who plays Moog, could not be sweeter and just nails every scene that he is in.
Yeah.
To me, I just and when he says in that the scene after he says the album's finished, and he says that smile That's made it. It all worth it.
There it
smile.
Is.
Yeah, the smile.
Smiling.
He's just so great. I know we don't have a ton of time left, but I just have to say, when we all met, we read first, I don't know what it was, two or three episodes, but maybe we did like one at a time, and we did them over Zoom. And that's how we all met each other, really, was over Zoom. And when I met via Zoom Taj, there was this just happiness and just this just glow that emanated from the Zoom screen, and I want to hug that guy. I just want to hug him. When we got to the set, and the first time I met Taj was on the set in the shack.
The first time
I met him, I said, "Taj, can I give you a hug?" And he goes, bring it in. And he gave me this big hug. And he's just the sweetest guy. We all, our humans are fantastic. And I love all of them.
There's a shot earlier in this episode with Joe Trulio where he's so happy he grabs Taj and he hugs him. And I feel like, I assume that wasn't in the script. That was just, he's just so huggable. You just got to grab him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
He's huggable.
Yeah. We had never seen anyone go down to the studio.
Right.
We've always seen them coming from that area over there, but we never saw anybody go down that behind that wall and down. And on the day, I said, we got to just paint studio like as if they did it and put an arrow down there. So our set person came over and she just like banged it out. She was made it, called it studio so that you could see, you know, we knew where he was coming from and going to. So,
you know, when we did our pitch, we'd met the guys and everything. Over Zoom. This was all over Zoom. But then for our pitch, we had, you know, it was Adam, me, and Bill, although you weren't on at that point.
Yeah,
you know, because what happened was our Zoom gets crashed by the mayhem. So as we're pitching this to Disney Plus, all of a sudden these little windows start populating the Zoom as each of the band members appeared. And, you know, talking to a Muppet, like that gets you a green light. Like just having them pop up on the screen and just like these people were watching their own Muppet show. And then, yeah, to just be on that screen as one of those people and just with the Muppets was just a thrill. But it was very, very cool. Each of you guys set up your own spaces, like your own little Lloyd Den.
Like tie-dyed something in the background, I think, and some, you know, Christmas lights or whatever it was. We all had our own little thing that we did in our box.
Setup. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I would have greenlit the show with that. Absolutely.
It was very cool. It was very cool of everyone to do.
Matt, do you have any other memories from the series, something from, you know, maybe a different episode that you want to share, people that you worked with, really great or terrible moments? You know, performing Floyd on Muppets Mayhem.
Do a terrible one.
Now here's a terrible moment.
Give me a bad one.
I don't.
What'd you hate?
I really haven't. For us, like kind of a longer shoot, and usually there might be a moment where you just like, I'm frustrated about something. This, I don't remember ever being frustrated, other than the false COVID thing. I was frustrated by that because I really missed not being there for these moments. There's like I think there's another moment in a van where I'm not there for that, but I don't think I say anything. Oh, I know which one it is. It's when they all get sick, when they all get motion sickness. I think it's the next episode where they're all looking at their phones and they all get motion sickness. And I don't think I wasn't there for that. But what was terrible for me was not being able to be there with my brothers and sisters in the van or just in the scene or whatever, because it was just such a
as great
show.
As Peter now. Sorry, I mean, we missed you too. You know, it's you get used to being together in these spaces, you know, and feeding each other and stuff.
Yeah, and it's wild how, you know, we've known each other for decades, a long time, and to it makes it so much easier to be able to work with somebody in a scene when you kind of can feel where they're gonna go, and you can jump on and go with them there and add to it. And
yeah,
it just was nothing. It was just a pleasure to go to work every day. It really was.
Was it about in the parking lot, whose car you parked next to? Was that like what made it special?
Well, I do think that we had spaces next to each other.
Yeah, we were parking
right?
pals.
Were you and I next?
That's how parking I consider pals. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt noticed where you were parked, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I found it very, you know, it was.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Special though. Right?
You were next to me? Which side?
Oh, come on.
Was I on the outside? I don't remember.
Really?
I don't know.
Just because I had a bike?
I know where Bill was like right
was
next.
Like, you
Bill
know
was
where like, I was. Yeah, I know where Matt was.
Right there.
Where are you, Jeff? You were next to Matt?
I'm just guessing you must have been next to me.
Yeah. I mean, my mom dropped me off, but most of the day.
Oh,
and you
right.
know, but in all honesty, it would have been great. And I know you were busy, like, I guess, writing the show or whatever, but to have it, but in the times that you were able to come to set and be on set with us and kind of like and throw out alts, and you know, Bill was great about like coming up with alts, but then you'd also text Jeff and Adam,
right?
And be like, okay, hey, what about how about this, and
oh, yeah,
text back, and just to kind of keep it moving so that we would have some sort of alt, and when you know if something wasn't working, or just to kind of plus something. And it just seemed like you guys had a system down that worked really well for.
Yeah. I mean,
you guys,
I've said it before.
I just wish you would have been there more.
It's so much fun being down there and watching you guys work and watching you have fun. And then, yeah, just coming up with ideas. We would text back and forth. What do you think of this? We could scribble stuff on, you know, or we ran by like the music stores. Like, hey, what do you think of these possible, you know? Like, but yeah, I wish that I could have been down there more. It's just so much fun, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, Matt Vogel, thank you so much for being here. It was such a joy to get to talk to you about Floyd. Thank you for all you've brought to the character on this great series. And Bill and Jeff, thank you for being here again. I can't get rid of you guys. I hope to have you back again next
week.
Bill, you still sorry?
Yeah.
I hear it in his voice.
I knew this wasn't going to be a good one.
Yeah. You know. Well, maybe next week. You got two more shots. Maybe one of these. It'll stick.
Oh, no, the others are great.
Oh.
I just had a feeling this one wasn't going to fly. Yeah, we're going to do this
you do
with...
This and you should do it. You know, we should
what,
do
a different Floyd.
Or anybody.
Yeah,
anybody.
We're going to do this one with Alice.
Is it Alice or use Peter? It's
and
fine.
Peter.
It's
see totally how they fine. Felt.
And then I'll ADR it.
Perfect. Great. Well, thank you again for being here, everyone else. We will see you again next week on Muppets Mayhem Backstage Pass. The Muppets Mayhem Backstage Pass is brought to you by ToughPigs.com. Produced, written, and hosted by Joe Hennis. Logo art by Dave Hultin Jr. The Muppets Mayhem mark and logo, characters, and elements are trademarks of the Muppets Studio. All rights reserved. Transcriptions provided by Katie Lynn Miller. The Muppets Mayhem end credits written by Mick Giacchino is used with permission. Special thanks to the Muppets Studio, Disney Plus, and the entire Muppets Mayhem family. For more from ToughPigs, find us at ToughPigs on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon. Thanks for listening, and until next time, rock on!